Let us pray. God of wisdom, please open our eyes, please open our ears, open our hearts, open our whole selves, and open us to you and your words for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's story, the story of the Good Samaritan, is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Even though many Canadian people these days are not familiar with stories of the Bible, we sometimes hear the words of Good Samaritan to mean a kind and helpful stranger in our local news. As a relatively newcomer to Canada, my family and I have encountered and been helped by a Good Samaritan whenever we had an unexpected accident. 7 years ago, my mother-in-law, her two sisters, and my niece visited us, and we planned to go to the Rocky Mountains driving a big rental car. And my husband was confident in driving, but unfortunately, we got a flat tire on the way to the Kamloops, where we stayed the first night, on the first day it happened. All of us got off the car and tried to find a spare tire, but we are not used to the car, so we couldn't find it. We had no BCAA membership at that time, and our speaking ability is limited, so we had no idea how to get help. But eventually, two gentlemen who are biking stopped at our car and calling, "What happened?" And although they were very tall and big guy, but they squeezed their bodies under the car and tried to find a spare tire and helped my husband to change it. And at the end, they said to us, "Please make sure that next time, rent a Japanese car, okay? It's easier for you." "Oh, that's right," we thought. And they're gone immediately. Since my mother-in-law and sisters, her sisters were born as ministers' daughters and raised in a church, they were deeply impressed and said, "Oh, we met Good Samaritan in Canada. That's great." So it was very bad news, but it turned to very good news. Not only that time, but also when we got stuck on a snowy road, or when I fell down on an icy road, or when we struggled to build a tent as the camping ground in the summer, we remember that eventually a Good Samaritan appeared and helped us. I think it is not only the teaching of Jesus, but also had been an important teaching in a Jewish tradition to help those who are troubled, poor, weak, and needy. In Leviticus 19, it is said, "You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." We can see the prophecy of Amos in this tradition. Although his prophecy telling the fate of destruction and exile of Israel terrifies us, we need to know that it was told to the king, the ruling classes, and to the rich people who exploited the majority of the people of Israel who were in poverty. We may hear the judgment of God from Amos, but we need to know that it comes from God's passion for justice and love for the most vulnerable people. In the same way, I would like to invite you to listen to this familiar story of the Good Samaritan, not from the perspective of Good Samaritan, but from the perspective of a wounded Jew. Because the original audience of this story was not only a lawyer who represented the rich and privileged minority people of Israel, but also the poor and powerless majority people of Israel. Also because Jesus himself was going through the dangerous way to Jerusalem, the way of being wounded, killed, on the cross. One Jew traveled on a dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho alone. He was attacked, stripped, beaten, and left half dead. Although a priest and a Levite walked by him, they ignored him and passed by to keep themselves clean or out of trouble. He was completely abandoned by his people, but was rescued and cared by a strange Samaritan. Jesus was also going to be beaten, stripped, and abandoned by his people, but remarkably, his cross was carried by a stranger, a man of silence named Simon. And his last was witnessed by a strange Roman centurion. So I am wondering what Jesus told the majority of the audience, poor people of Israel, through this story. To the lawyer who tried to challenge Jesus by saying, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Meaning, go and do what the Samaritan did, what whoever in trouble. But most of his audience may not have been rich enough, like the Samaritan, to care for the wounded. If so, I'm wondering, if Jesus may have challenged them, when you are in trouble, can you receive the loving care of a strange Samaritan? When I was in Japan, I recognized I need to love and serve people as much as possible as a minister of the church. I tried to help and to include foreign workers and foreign mothers who were married to Japanese husbands to our community. I invited them to dinner and organized cooking classes to be friends with each other. Since the social services for foreigners in Japan were not sufficient, we made a guidebook for everybody, everyday life in a town, working together with local YMCA. And we planned special events to get to know each other. I also encouraged foreign mothers to participate in school volunteer work to get to know each other more deeper level. However, when I came to Canada, my situation was completely changed. I remember that when we came here 8 years ago, several unions went on strike over the summer. Do you remember that? It was happened on 2005. We couldn't receive our necessities sent from Japan for 3 months because a union of warehouse company in Vancouver was on strike. And because of the strike of TELUS Mobility Company, our phone and internet disconnected suddenly. We tried to get the technical person of TELUS by phone, but it didn't work for 3 weeks. Besides that, we need somebody's help to settle, to rent an apartment, to buy a car, to take our several insurances, to open a bank account, to have a social insurance number, to register for our children's school and other activities, and etc. My English was not sufficient to deal with those things. I felt really powerless and tiny. I'm physically tiny, but I felt much more tiny. But after 3 years, when I got used to the life in Canada, I found that it was a very valuable experience to receive many support and much love from various friends and some strangers. I found it is very important exercise for me, not only giving my love and help, but also receiving love and help by others, because our journey of faith starts not from giving our love, but from receiving God's abundant and steadfast love. I have been deeply impressed and sometimes amazed by you, by this congregation. I have never met such a dedicated and hardworking congregation ever in my life of the ministry for the past 16 years. Even in summer, you are continuing sandwich makings and delivery to the First United Mission, bread pickup and pack up for the community meal, and organizing and running the community meal every Thursday. I think it is not usual in many churches. You are the people who are really good at giving your gifts and energy for others. But sometimes I'm wondering how much you are good at receiving love and help by others. Life is good, but life is somehow like a dangerous journey from Jerusalem to Jericho in a story of the Good Samaritan. Sometimes you may not be fine enough to help others and give your love and energy to people in need. If so, please take a rest and receive love of God and love of others without feeling sorry. You may be old enough to just receive somebody's help and love. If so, please receive it with your beautiful smile. Your loving receiving will make your caregivers peaceful. Our lives in the world and in the cosmos were created in an interdependent relationship by nature, as today's beautiful picture story says. So we need not only givers, but also receivers in our church family, in our community, in our country, and in our world. At the end, I would like to invite you to sing, "Spirit, Open My Heart." May these lyrics be our prayers in day and night. Spirit, open my heart to the joy and pain of living. As you love, may I love in receiving and in giving. Spirit, open my heart.